Once again, I want to just welcome our live stream audience. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel, and especially you who are joining us via live stream. We're going to have a great time. It is such a perfect setting to always gather around the word of the Lord. So I trust that you have your Bible either in print or maybe electronically, but let's make this day complete. We're going to try to get you out on time because naturally everybody wants you fathers to go out there and cook something for the rest of us. So happy Father's Day. It's a great setting. Hey, before we get started, make sure you get a chance. Let's get our bulletin cards out and going. We want to make sure you get a chance. There are some things we want to see today. There's always, it's an important time for us to have a few takeaways. One in particular, you're aware here at Hope Chapel, summer is upon us. And with that, so many of our typical ministries through the school year, through the calendar year, come to a summer break, and life groups are one of them. But we're excited on Wednesday. We're beginning Wednesday church, and it's aimed at healing is yours. It's going to be focused on healing, teaching on healing, and application. Don and Hanya Galitza, would you just take a curtain stand and say hello? That's who's going to be leading and directing, and we're sure grateful for that. So make sure that's not just Wednesday, it's going to be running through the entire summer months, ending toward the end of August, and it's going to be at 6:30, so if you can, we're trying to end it a little early. We all need fellowship, and that means when it's wrapping up, why don't you take somebody, get better acquainted, head on down to Main Street, we're just here, you could get to the end of the pier in 15-minute walk. But take someone out for some refreshments afterwards. We need each other. Please, oh please, we're finding that believers need more than a Sunday. And for some of us, that Sunday may be one or every other kind of a weekend. And that's just not going to do if we're going to maintain life and vitality for the sake of others. You might be able to be good, but we sure need each other to just power up in the things of the Lord. I'm always still grateful. When my pastor, when I was just newly water baptized at age 19, he said, Paul, you need more than Sunday church. You need to start coming on Wednesday. I thought, man, I never did that. It's like my life is over. It's all about church. But he was so smart to just tell me, get around good teaching of the word, good worship. Get people to just kind of refine your thoughts, bounce it off of those things that you know are godly men and women. You will really expedite growth. And even more than that, you'll help somebody else to just be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might too. So with that in mind, we're going to take a look at today's message. We're going to take a little debriefing of some things and jump right into today's message. That is called Go Talk to Your Father. It's our Father's Day message. We'll get back to our series next Sunday, but that's our series that we've been in. But today, go talk to your Father. Go talk to your Father. Let's do that even now. Father, thank you for leading us in what we're going to see using that example prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting phrase, go talk to your Father. My mother, when she knew that there was questionability about whether I should have something or not, she would just say, go talk to your father. And you always went to your mother first because you knew she was a softy and you could work something there. But when you had to go talk to your father, which really was the correct approach to things. But we want to take a look at that, especially in the summer months. Can you hear what I'm saying with regards to many of us might be saying, what am I going to do? My life group leader may not be accessible. Maybe my brothers in the Lord may not be easily reached. Who do I go to? Go talk to your father. That's going to be important for us today, once again. And I want to highlight the importance of, because the followers of Jesus, the disciples, knew that Jesus had something going on when they observed his patterns of prayer. I'm going to open the word up today in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We will be going to Matthew 6, but see what the disciple had asked Jesus. It says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now check that out, because there's no other place the disciples are really asking. They didn't ask him, Lord, show us how to do miracles. Maybe would you help us how to raise our family? What are some ways to work our finances? Maybe there's a way you could show us how to raise the dead or do some great miracle. But they knew something. They saw a pattern in Jesus that he prayed. And if they could get into prayer, teach us to pray, that everything else would follow. And as Jesus does so well, he's such a great teacher, he gave an example prayer. And that example prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Now, it can be recited in 25 seconds. I do that quite a bit. I remember as a young boy reciting that. There's only 66 words to this, but we're going to see what's involved with the Lord's Prayer. How important is that? It was interesting, a cute little joke about a four-year-old trying to recite, memorize the Lord's Prayer. She started off by saying, Our Father who does art in heaven, Harold is your name. Lord, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from email. Forgive us of our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Let's take a look here at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And we're going to put that up there. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. It's in the New King James Version. It's one that we probably are most familiar with, that rendering or the old King James. But let's go ahead and say it together in this manner. Let's say it together. In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, it's called the Lord's Prayer. The real prayer of Jesus can be found in John chapter 17. A lot of red letter where Jesus is just praying. The whole prayer is there, and even includes you and me, those who will believe in their words about Jesus. Pretty powerful. When Ainsley and I had our much younger children, when we were in Banning, and they were just little teeny boppers trying to struggle out the door to school with their lunch pail and their backpacks, we did something called KISS, an acronym for Keep It Simple, Saint. And we would recite the Lord's Prayer. We would struggle to try to get out the door. There's always some child that doesn't put their shoe on right, or doesn't even add socks, or doesn't comb their hair. But we always made sure, because we only had one bathroom when we first started off. It was like a 6x6 bathroom. And as the children got older, it was really a tussle. And we knew we needed to kind of work through some patterns of peace going out the door. So we used KISS. It was our family devotion. We would hold hands, put your backpacks down, recite the Lord's Prayer, and then we have to kiss each other. And you should have saw some of them didn't want to kiss each other, but we did. And off we went to school or to the office. It was called KISS, but we recited the Lord's Prayer. And it's important for us to just know that we need to bring in some aspects of prayer. And I want to encourage us, because we do want to go talk to our Father. So when we deal with this, let's break it down. And I know, and as I look over the weeks, I see some of you are not too savvy into wanting to take notes. So we're still going to use our hands today. Are you with me? Here we go. Number one on your notes, adoration. Let's break the Lord's Prayer down. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So let's put this number one up, you know, like Jesus is number one, like one way, right? One way. Here we go. Let's put up our left hand. Everybody, left hand up. Your other left hand. Good. That's good. Left hand up. And then put that one finger there. That is adoration. Adoration. When you pray, when you talk to God, you always want to start with praise. Lord, we praise you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. So when we take a look at that, we're going to begin it. And when we talk, our Father, when Jesus even brings that up, that is revolutionary. Now, you and I may be aware that that's how people might talk. It's like a church term, our Heavenly Father. But when Jesus said, this is how you to pray, our Father, that was radical. For the Greeks, they would never think about calling one of their gods Father. Their gods were vindictive. Their gods were jealous. They're flat mean. You had Prometheus, one of their mythological gods, that spit out fire. He brought in fire. How about Zeus? He was like the chief god. And if you got Zeus upset, he'd send vultures to eat your liver out. How would you like to call him Father? No way. Also, the ancient Judaism, they would not consider calling God Father, because they would have that aspect of Adonai, which meant my master, or El Shaddai, the mighty one. So to say, let's pray to God, our Father, that is just like, what are we talking about? So you can imagine when Jesus is trying to remind you and me, you've got something going on. If you really engage God, you have a relationship. You call God Father. You call God Father. Now, that's going to be important, because that was a process that Jesus is listed in the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, 156 times, that Jesus would use the reference to God Father. Wow. Now, why would we be able to do that? Dear friends, because of our acceptance of Christ as our Savior. Jesus says, you are welcomed as a family member. That's an incredible thing. But let's let the Word now speak to us. Let's let that. I'm going to open my Bible again to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. See what Scripture says here. And it says, and because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. Now, I like that. The Bible says that. I didn't say that. God says you have been birthed, and therefore you are not only the Spirit of God's come upon you, but something feels a closeness. There's a relationship that starts to happen with people. We're not just talking church. We're talking like God wants to engage us. And Abba Father is the reference, which means daddy. Daddy in heaven. It's an amazing thing when we look here, or Papa. Let's look at another one. We've got Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. His Spirit joins with our spirit, and there's a confirmation. You should have a confirmation you're born again. Matter of fact, I always like to experiment when I hit this verse. What does that mean? Where we would do just this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. I'd like you to close your eyes. And I want you to just say within your heart, I am saved. And listen for the Spirit of God saying, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I'm a child of God. And let the Spirit of God say, yes, you are. Scripture says, Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm, to affirm. Somebody may come along, who do you think you are? But you sure want to hear from the Spirit of God that you are one of His. And that happens in a born-again experience where we could literally start to transform what we thought was a prayer life to a personal pursuit with God. Father, Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. That is yours. That's your prerogative. Man, when you really start to engage and feel like you are a somebody going somewhere, then you start to ask big in anticipation of experiencing some big stuff. So what's your relationship with God today? Is it intimate? Is it close? Or is it distant? Sometimes we have to feel like, man, I'm just not really feeling close to God. Well, let's remedy that today. We really can. So you can see here, our first finger up, adoration. Yeah? One way, put God first. Very important for us to do that. Because we want to transform, letter A on your notes, we need to transfer our trust from a situation to the Lord. And nothing like praise really gets us there. Adore the Lord. Transfer that situation. I have found when I first started off praying, it was always a problem that got me before God. Now here comes another one, God. Are you ready? It's a big one. But I also found that the problem became a big distraction. I couldn't focus on God. I could only focus on the distraction. So I want to transfer my distraction to say, God's bigger. God's greater. Man, adoration. Man, our Father in heaven, great is the Lord. Let's take a look at number two, cooperation. Part of that in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Cooperation. Let's put our left hand up. Ready? What first one? Adoration. Oh, yeah, you're getting it. Number two, cooperation. And put them together because how can two go together unless they agree? Or you cross it over like, yeah, we're in. So that's going to be important. Adoration, cooperation. Be a part of your prayer life. So when we take a look here, this is where intercession starts coming in. I'm not wanting to look at myself or my issue. I'm now thinking about God. But Lord, what is it? Your kingdom come. Now, what is that? Are we like hasten this rapture? Because I sure like to get out of here. No. Lord, what is it that your will should be in any given situation? It's really like the Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Check it out with me. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. I see that. I know you do too. So I would say to you and me, who's calling the shots in your life? Who really is? Who really, if you really were to say, who really is telling what you're going to be doing and who you're going to be about, whatever area? There really are two kinds of people. One is where God is allowed to direct their life. There's another person where they are using God to help direct what they want or their needs or their will. So you can often tell a person if they're all about their own agenda. How? They get frustrated easy with people. They get frustrated because it isn't happening fast enough and you're not helping them get there. And so that's how you can tell people. Just consider that with me. So when we look at letter A on our notes, prayer is designed to get us to cooperate with the Lord. First one, adoration. Second, cooperation. That's the Lord's Prayer. Sure be good that we pray to our Heavenly Father that way. I like it when Jesus set the tempo. Let's look here at John 5, verse 19. It says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, Jesus is all about the Father. Lord, what is it that you're doing? Wouldn't that be great that you paused and you prayed? Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. What is it that you are doing with my spouse? What is it that you're saying to my children? Because I'd like to say the same thing. If you just could pause that way, and it isn't just about you. Who else in your life do you deal with? Who is it? Because I'm sure we all have people in our house, people in our home, people in our work setting. Lord, what are you doing on the job site? Because I'd like to cooperate. I don't want to say anything that is different or sabotage. That would be worse yet. God's going this direction. You are clueless about it. And we could sabotage that. Sometimes we rush in. And as a pastor, you should see the needs that come in beyond our church. And we often say, Lord, are we the ones to meet the need? That's important. What are you saying in this very desperate situation? Because we can help, and we do, but maybe there's something else God's wanting to help that person with beyond a grocery basket. That's important. So, Lord, what is it that you're trying to do or to say? So take a look at John chapter 14, verse 10. It says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me, because his work, because he does his work through me. So it's important we get a chance once again. I like the fact, what a great example, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he asks the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, I'm a dad. We have a lot of fathers here. We have the greatest guys in this church. And I'm sure if you had a son ask you, Dad, is there any way we could go about where I'm not paying a big price here? We would find a way to remedy that. And Jesus is asking the Father in heaven, is there any other way we can redeem mankind? And I'm sure his resources are endless and limitless. And there is no other way to redeem you. Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Wow. For you. Jesus went through it with you. So I think it's important we get a chance once again to remember, Lord, not my will, but yours. That's important to add to our prayer. Let's take a look at number three, petition. Give us this day our daily bread. So let's take a look. Left hand up. Here we go. Number one. Adoration. Oh, you're taking good notes. Good job. Remember? Cooperation. And now petition. Petition. Now here we come in with our requests. These are some things we want to lay out, Lord. These are some things. But I kind of like it this way. It kind of looks like a Boy Scout. We have any Boy Scouts here, men? Any Boy Scouts? A few of us? Yeah. Eagle Scouts. Good job. All right. I like it. You remember the oath, right? On my honor, right? I will do my best. To do my duty to God and my country. So just remember that, the petition. I'm going to do my best. But it's important when we lay out our notes because we want to add that in there. And letter A on your notes, it's all right. Ask God for all your needs. It's all right to do that, but you can see the layout that Jesus is giving. Go talk to your Father about that need. But there are some other things to include in there. But that word bread, it's a euphemism. It really references what God knows you're going to be needing that day. Do you think he knows what you're going to be needing even before you do? He sure does. So, Lord, give us this day my daily bread. What is it that I'm going to be facing today, Lord? Can you help me with that situation? It's not all about food substance. That's important. When was the last time you heard an American say, you know, give us this day our daily bread? It's usually like, Lord, keep us back from eating all that food, isn't it? That's really when we don't pray that way anymore. But it's important we get a chance. It's kind of like, remember Israel with manna in the desert, just enough for today. They went out. That's in Exodus chapter 16, verse 31. But I think our Heavenly Father is really a good parent, don't you? He does not spoil us. What if he were to give us everything we ever asked? That would not be a good parent, would it? Some of you are saying, well, I'd like to try. Please, let me just try. You know, it's interesting to note here in Proverbs chapter 30. Look at Proverbs 30. We'll put that up for you. Verse 8, 9 says, first, help me never to tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs, for if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. So So it's important we take a look at that and realize God does want to hit our needs. But Lord, what is it that I need today? Let's take a look at number four, confession. Confession. Let's put our fingers up. Here we go. Ready? Adoration. Cooperation. Petition. Yeah. And we picked a little one because we hope it's a short list of confession, right? Confession. Not much there. We wish it was a little smaller, but nevertheless, confession. That needs to be a part of your prayer life. It's important. We're going to see why, but when we take a look at confession, this is not debt reduction. Lord, pay my bills. I'd sure like to see that. But as we deal with that, letter A on your notes, forgiveness and communion with God is maintained on a daily basis through confession and prayer. If you're here and you say, man, I feel distant from the Lord, it is so significant for believers to maintain confession daily, daily, maybe more than once a day, maybe more than once. How many times do you brush your teeth a day? At least twice, yeah? Well, twice a week? Ooh, okay. Everybody scoot forward that? No. So you kind of like clean as you go. And it's important to maintain a relationship with God. How smart is Jesus to say so clearly, forgive us our debts. We have debts with God. And we're not just talking like sin. How about, have you ever made an agreement with God? Lord, if you restore my marriage, I'll serve you forever. Lord, if you bail me on the student loan, I'm yours. And then we don't follow through with it. We've got a debt. And we should just say, Lord, forgive me. I could not keep that promise. And I ask you, forgive me of that debt. Forgive me of what I know I should not do or engage in. Why is that important? If you're wanting to enjoy a really healthy interaction with your Heavenly Father, and some of us have had some very painful conditions with our earthly fathers, but I'm telling you, you give your Heavenly Father a chance. Check out Psalm 66, verse 18. In Psalm 66, verse 18, for if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. I love that. I'll tell you, get back on track and feel like you're hearing from the Lord. Just spend time, say, Lord, is there anything that's barricading my time to be able to hear you? And I certainly want you to hear what I'm about to dump on you. So, Lord, forgive me, wash me clean. And I just love that any verse that says his unfailing love. Check out 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. It's in the epistle called 1 John toward the book of Revelation. Says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and the truth, or the living in the truth. We are not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's wonderful. It's healthy to say, boy, closer we get to God, the more we feel a little bit out of sorts. But we want to, once again, I think we're finding the greatest cause of divorce in our environment in California is not an inability to get along, the incompatibilities. It's an inability to forgive one another. We just get irritated and so hurt, we're not going to forgive. Lord, forgive me of my debt, but I'm going to have to forgive some others who really have broke a promise with me as well. So that vertical with us and our Father really helps with our horizontal forgiveness with each other. Let me just add as well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. Let's just remind ourselves of that. How forgiveness is so good, so wonderful, and so rich. So here we go. We're going to take a look. We're on number 5, protection. Here we go. Let's try our fingers. Left hand up. Number 1, adoration. Good. Cooperation. 3, good. Oh, yeah. And fold them down. We got the thumb left, right? Get that thumb right over those 4. Protection. Doesn't that look like a fist? You're going to punch that dude in the peeper. Ah, yeah. That's what we're going to do right there. The evil one. Check it out. Part of that, verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's important when we get a chance there. So, Lord, please lead me around temptation. That's really what it's saying. See, God's word says God does not tempt anybody. That doesn't come. He might allow a test, but he does not tempt. You always want the Bible to validate or to prove the Bible. Let's see what James chapter 1, verse 13 says. Scripture defines Scripture. That's why as we read the whole book, we get a better perspective of God. But remember, God, when we're saying lead us not into temptation, like don't lead us down that path, it really is, Lord, you know what's going to be hitting my fan this week. Lord, lead me around it. But check out James 1:13. And remember, it says, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, just look at the word just for a moment here. First of all, we know temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. So hold tight. If you're being tempted, never want to just say, oh man, it's just so crazy. I'm just going to go and commit that sin and get it over with. Takes the pressure off. Don't do it. That's why, Lord, lead me around that temptation. You know what I can't do, but I need your help. I need your help. But it is interesting, if you look at James, it says, when we're enticed by our own desires and drawn away. So let's just imagine we've got this beautiful little cave of protection. It's like, yahoo, man. Feel like you can whip anything. God's protecting you, and he is. But then works of darkness knows what you've been looking at as a teenager, what you'd long to see happen, what magazines you're like rolling. One day I'm going to be like that. And then he comes along and sets it out about 60 yards from that protective covering, drags away and enticed. And then you become lion's bait. Watch out. And it's not just one thing to be tempted. It's when we succumb to that temptation. And you can see here it says, gives birth to death. The amount of times I sit with good brothers and sisters in the Lord, I say, if you really are committed to that relationship or to that future, then do it right. Because once sin comes into that relationship, suspicion comes. It breaks down relationships. All kinds of just hellish things happen. All because of something called sin. It really does pervert, corrupt. And so that's why confession is so good. But the protection of God. Lord, do not lead us into temptation. Lead us around that, but especially the evil one. Don't you think that's fascinating that Jesus would include that in the Lord's Prayer? Some people still don't believe that the devil's real. They think it's just kind of renegade thoughts of humanity. But there's a work of darkness that's waiting to take you out. But God's going to make sure he protects you. But it's good to know where that protection is from. And if you need help, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4:15 says this, this high priest of ours, talking about Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That's why that would be an indicator, the need to pray. Temptation's difficult, but it's not impossible. Not impossible. But that is in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, protect us. We don't want to defame you, cause problems. So it's going to be important to that. And I want to highlight as well 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Take a look and write that down. Some of us just need to see that. It says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure it. Man, I love that. So don't ever think nobody's going to be able to identify. Man, some of our best help has been in small groups when people come clean and share their transparent stories. And someone said, nah, that's nothing. You got to see what I've gone through. It's helpful, but God knows. So God will give us a way around that to flee or to put a pause on or to call up a friend. I sure like that about the Lord. I see it, you see it, but that's a part of the Lord in His journey with us. Finally, let's hit this one in a matter of a few seconds. Number 6 is victory. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I like letter A on there. It says, finally, Lord, you're already victorious. I'm learning to take your victory and apply it to my life. Let's do it one last time. Let's do rehearse. Here we go. Hand up. Adoration. Cooperation. Petition. Confession. Here we go. Put it in there. Protection. Right in the peeper. And then you open it up again right in the middle. Victorious. Victory. Just glory to God. We're going to have a great day because we spent time knocking out those categories. So once again, we always want to end with thanksgiving. Please rehearse those things. Please consider that when you're so focused on a problem, you can't include some of these other things. Spirit of God will speak to you. Here's my final verse today. It's found in John 16:24. It's a promise to you. Promise to you. John 16:24. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. I love that, don't you? I believe that. That's for you and for me. You may not have really been a person that puts priority to prayer, but I believe the Lord just saying, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you keep asking? You will receive. Why? I think like any good parent, he's always happy when his children are very, very happy too. Well, let me lead you out. Let's stand to our feet. Here we go. Time is of the essence. I want you at the first buffet line the quickest way possible. Remember, if you're facing issues, remember the line, go talk to your Father. Go talk to your Father. Matter of fact, may that be something every morning. So I'm going to welcome David Liu up here as well. But Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. And on this occasion, thank you. There's something of your Spirit that's once again inviting us to come. And if you're here online with us, or possibly even here, feel distant from the Lord, then just ask Almighty God once again. That's the first and foremost. Lord, I believe you welcome me into your embrace because of Jesus and his sacrifice. Lord, I come to you. I have nothing to offer but myself. Lord, receive me. I receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel,
would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.